This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 617 in the series. This session of the radio show shares the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, September 28, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. School committee members were in the municipal building along with some of the public. Other members of the public joined via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. The total meeting runs around 2 hours and 20 minutes, so I split the meeting into two segments. First covers the opening, the citizens' comments, the introduction of Lily Rivera, and the DLI Digital Learning Integration Team presentation and update, approximately an hour and 4 minutes. The second segment covers the discussion action items, discussion-only items, the consent agenda, through to the closing of the meeting. Links to the meeting agenda and associated documents released for this meeting are included in the show notes. The link to my notes taken during the meeting is also provided. So let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting, September 28, 2021.
To continue to access the Zoom link, phone numbers below, and that's that part. And now, as is customary, we will take our roll call attendance because we have a couple members who are on Zoom this evening. Jen D'Angelo?
Here.
Tim Keenan? Is Tim, do we see Tim? Yeah. Okay, I'll get back to Tim. Judith Bonfeffer?
Present.
Yep. Mary Jane Schofield?
Here.
Denise Spencer?
Here.
Elise Stokes?
Here.
And Ann Bergen? Yes. And is customary, we always begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I would like to tell you a little bit about our Pledge of Allegiance student. Her name is Marina Zaki. And let me tell you a little bit about her. Our principal gave us a wonderful introduction to her. And here it is. We proudly introduce Marina Zaki as tonight's Keller kid, who will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Marina is the fifth grader at Keller in Mrs. Martinelli's class. Marina demonstrates Keller's core values in the following ways. Marina cares for everyone in our school. She works hard at establishing and maintaining relationships with others. Marina demonstrates intelligence by working hard and making expected choices. Marina is an avid reader and writer. She loves writing fictional stories and reading Harry Potter. Marina is inclusive of all students. She tries to understand others' needs and feelings in order to make them feel more included. Marina has a strong connection to her community and family too. Outside of school, Marina plays soccer and looks forward to starting basketball later this fall. Marina also enjoys fishing with her father. Finally, Marina enjoys spending time with her older sister, Maria, I think, who is in 10th grade at Franklin High School, younger sister Myra, who is in 3rd grade at Keller, and mom. Together with her parents, we are so proud of her, and certainly we as members of the school committee share that pride, and we're going to ask Marina if she will lead us as we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Marina. That was hard to coordinate with the Zoom. You did a great job for us. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stark, for providing this for us as well. All right, and as customary, we pause for a moment of silence. Thank you. At this time, I'd ask if there is anyone who wishes to make a citizen's comment. Steve Sherlock, let me just give you a little bit of information about citizen's comments. In the spirit of open communication, the committee will hold a public participation segment, also called Citizens' Comments, about matters not related to an agenda item at the beginning of each regular school committee meeting. The committee will listen to, but not respond to, any comment made. A committee member may add an agenda item to a future meeting as a result of a citizen comment. The committee will hear public comments related to agenda item when the chair deems appropriate during the committee meeting. Topics for discussion during the meeting must be limited to those items listed on the committee meeting agenda for that evening. That's from policy BEDH. So again, we ask that people limit citizens' comments to 3 minutes. And Mr. Sherlock, would you just identify yourself and address?
Yes, Steve Sherlock, Lawrence Drive, more commonly known as the guy behind Franklin Matters and Franklin Public Radio with the audio broadcast, et cetera. But tonight, one of the things that I've learned over the 15 years doing what I do is that when good people get together, lots of good things happen. So I wanted to make sure that the new organization called the Franklin Area Nonprofit Network was made aware specifically to the school committees, to the school community, excuse me, because in particular, the PCCs generally are nonprofits and they could benefit from membership. So why are you doing this kind of a nonprofit organization, a network organization? If you look around, the Downtown Partnership and the Chamber of Commerce is kind of a circle of friends for businesses. The Cultural District Cultural Council has brought together the circle of friends for cultural organizations. Where's the one for the nonprofits who potentially would need more of that assistance between resource sharing, knowledge sharing, helping each other, etc.? Hence, the Franklin Area Nonprofit Network, FANN, deliberately done because it's a fantastic organization. So we are meeting on a regular basis, just purely an awareness tonight. And our vision to share with you is to create, Franklin will be a community where nonprofit organizations work together for the greater good of its residents. So the group is here. The group is willing. If you need any contact info, please reach out to me. My info should be everywhere that should be available to people to find. Franklin Area Nonprofit Network.org is also our website where we do post other info. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Steve. Anyone else, citizens comment?
Evening. Okay, my name's Brian Morehouse, and I'm short. Hi.
And your address is?
October Drive in Franklin.
Thank you.
Oh, don't worry. I'm fine. It's not a trip. I think I'm worried about that. Thank you. Thanks a lot. So I know you guys do a ton of work. You do all your policy, and you do a great job at that. I didn't plan on speaking tonight, but I was at curriculum night, I think it was a week ago. And I gotta tell you, I left there heartbroken. If some of you might know, I have a special needs son, and I pretty much taught him for a year, almost off and on. It was tough, it's been a tough year. So, to be honest, I thought, wow, can't wait for curriculum night. Can't wait to go in, see what the kids are up to this year. We're finally reconnecting. Be a great time to meet my son's teachers. And it was paperwork night. That was the last thing that I needed, having sat and done paperwork or sitting behind Zooms for a year with my son. I wanted some human contact. I would have loved, I know I reached out to Dr. Hearn. She said it was COVID related, which is concerning because I understand COVID's real. My family got profoundly affected. We lost family and friends, half our retirement, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. Salaries, I lost a job, I still don't have it back. I think it's real. But we can't keep blaming COVID for everything. We should have respected parents' time and known that this was a time to reconnect. It wasn't a time to sit in my son's desk for 15 minutes and fill out paperwork or read paperwork. They did have a cute little thing where you know, your son or your daughter had already written what their favorite color and food was, but I know that. I'm with him 24/7, I know his favorite color and food. What I didn't know is what I wanted to hear that night. I wanted to get a feel for my son's teacher. I didn't get any of that. All I got was the assistant principal coming into the room saying, all right guys, you gotta leave. Have you been here for 15 minutes? That's what I got. So it's disappointing. I again, I know you guys do a lot of work, but something needs to be done about getting more, like being, knowing what exactly the schools are doing when it comes face-to-face to parents. Because like I said, policy, all that stuff's great, but when all you get to do is just go in and pick up paperwork on curriculum night, it's a sad day. And just so you know, I'm not the only one that feels this way. I had multiple parents reach out to me saying, are you kidding me? It was a joke, it was a waste of my time, it was upsetting. So I just wanted to share that. I hope that you guys can kind of be more on top of what's going on with the parents, that you understand the value. I know I'll finish up. That hopefully you understand what parents value. And they, you know, want to hear what the kids are doing 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, and get a feel for their teacher. Because that's it. That's the only curriculum night this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Evening, guys. How are you?
Good. Just name and address, please.
Mark Bisson, 39 Miller Street. So again, to just kind of follow up with what she was saying, what is the plan moving forward, right? Before we started the school, we kind of dragged out, well, maybe we'll do, you know, the mandates and we'll do all the restrictions. Then it was, oh, then Desi stepped in and now it's end of October, October 1st, whatever. And now we get here and then it moves again. So what's your plan? What do you guys plan, and when do these mandates, these restrictions, when do they end? Can anybody give me an answer to that?
Sir, we are not responding.
No, I got you.
Comments. Yeah.
And you don't have to. Yep. I know you can, but you don't have to. But I think the frustration is starting to kind of build up a little bit. You know, looking at our metrics, what are we using? Are we using metrics? We have the data. We've talked about it. We started with 15 cases the first week, down to 8. What does it take to get us back to where we need to be? Where parents can enjoy going to school with their kids, and their kids can enjoy going to their school without having all these restrictions on them. So again, I'll continue to ask it. You know, I think it's important that you guys convey what the plan is, because right now it just seems like you're just doing whatever you're told, and that's really, you're here to do the will of us, the people of Franklin. So I think you guys owe us a plan on, hey, these are the metrics that we're going to use, and this is how we're going to get out of this. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Person's comment? Okay, very good. Dr. Hearn, student representatives, would you introduce them for us?
Dismiss the pledge student if she chooses to. I just don't know if she's feeling like she has to stay up.
Oh, say that again. Oh, Marina.
Marina.
Marina, you don't have to stay.
I know.
Thank you so much, though, for being here tonight. We don't want to keep you. We know you probably have homework to do, but thank you so much. Sorry about that. Okay, now.
Thank you. Okay. So we have two of our FHS student representatives here with us this evening. We have 4 total, 2 seniors and 2 juniors. Kenzie Atwood is a senior and she is returning as a representative. She joined us last year via Zoom. And a new representative is with us this evening, and that is Shaw Downing, and she is a junior. And they have prepared some comments to share with you this evening.
Okay, hi. So like Dr. Hearn said, I'm Mackenzie Atwood. I'm a senior at the high school, and I'm also the treasurer of the senior class. So some things regarding the senior class coming up at the high school. We have our junior prom that was moved to senior year because of COVID restrictions. So that's coming up on October 15th, a little unprecedented fall prom that we're really excited about, and we are fundraising for that right now by a calendar fundraiser. So I don't know if anyone was pressured by their kids to buy some raffle tickets so that it can pay for their prom ticket, but that raffle is gonna be going on for the month of October. Along with that, I'm a part of the theater company at our school, and we are currently working on a musical production of Mamma Mia. So we're really excited about that, and that's going to be happening November 12th and November 13th, a Friday and a Saturday. Other than that, I have a little bit of something more serious that has been affecting a lot of students at our high school. As a member of the LGBTQ community, I take it very seriously when I see acts of hate happening in our halls. And as you know, homophobia and transphobia has been a huge issue in our country in general, but it's coming to the halls of Franklin High School, a place where I spend so much time, so many people spend so much of their days there, and it's hurtful when you feel like you can't feel safe in these halls that you're spending majority of your week at. So, like I said, not only am I the treasurer of the class of 2020 and an active member in the Franklin High School Theater Company, I'm also a part of the peer leadership at club at our school and the founder and the president of the podcast club at our school. So many of my days, if I'm not in academic hours, I'm staying after school or coming early for meetings. It is hard to just take in assault from other students as a member of the LGBTQ community, but also as just being a woman at the high school. Each morning, I drive my sister and one of her best friends to school. Only naturally, they talk about stuff going on in the school. And my heart wrenches as I hear a story that one of their friends, who is a new member of the FHS community, was approached by another student and called, I quote, an effing faggot. I feel anxious while promoting my podcast club at the club fair when I see a group of boys standing in a few feet in front of me carrying pride flags that the Saga Club was handing out. I see them dropping them on the ground, stepping on them, sticking them in their friends' backpacks and laughing as if being gay is embarrassing or funny. I panic when carrying my pride flag around school that I received from the Saga Club the rest of the day, afraid of the looks I will get, afraid that I'll be called a slur in the middle of the hallway just like my sophomore friend. And although I publicly came out as bisexual just last year, or actually just the beginning of this year, I for the first time felt genuinely afraid that my sexuality was going to be a reason for hate towards me. Later that day, after the club fair, I received a text from a friend, the same friend that I drive to school every day, who told me about the instance with the student approaching her friend. And she sends me a picture of graffiti, which I'm sure many people have been aware of, on one of the back doors of the high school. The graffiti stated, "I hate gay people." Now, after that day, I'm sure you can imagine I was a little bit fed up. I was a little bit sad, and like I said, I've never in my whole 9 months of being publicly out have I ever seen this much homophobia in our school. No member of the LGBTQIA community should feel unsafe in the halls of the high school. I was given a glimpse of hope in the beginning of summer when I was visiting middle schools with my peer leadership club. I saw Pride Month decor since it was June and accepting teachers and students. Although unfortunately this type of acceptance has not carried through to our high school. I hope that the school committee will take my message to heart, knowing that we have made a lot of progress since most of you have been in school, with kids being comfortable with being openly out and expressing themselves through their sexuality. With that openness, it has been met with more and more open hatred. I hope as a town, a community, and a school board, we can respond appropriately and teach love and acceptance to young students and children and the young adults at our high school. Thank you.
Kenzie, thank you so much for the courage for speaking up. This is a message that needs to come, as you said, to the entire community. We just need to have that sense of moral outrage. Mm-hmm. And
it has to be more than words. It has to be action, and we have to all come together as a community to confront this head on. And I know I speak for all of us on the committee when I say thank you for your courage. It is not easy to speak out and to share such a personal message.
Thank you.
We're very proud of you, and we're taking a message to heart as members of the school committee, certainly, and I know people in the community as well. So thank you for that courage.
Thank you
for taking this step.
Thank you. My name is Shaw Downing. I'm a junior at Franklin High School, and I'm the vice president of my class. I'm just going to go over a few things, obviously not as important as what Kenzie had to say, but still important. The PSATs are coming up, and sophomore parents got an email a little while ago that they could put their child on the waiting list. We're in hopes to get more proctors for that, and if we're able to get more, the students that are on the waiting list, the sophomores, will be able to start taking their PSATs this year. Athletics, all teams as of right now for Franklin High School are doing really well. I know a few teams are winning all their games. We do have a football game this Friday, and we're expecting a lot of support from a lot of students at FHS. Back to school night is this Thursday, and the peer leaders will be going there to help the adults find their way around the hallways and find their way to classes. Homecoming is coming up at 7 to 9 p.m. on October 7th. The theme is going to be Under the Stars on the football field. The tickets are going to be $10, and you have to pay at the door, but you have to be registered before you get to the door, or you cannot go in.
Thank you both. I think it's so exciting, though, to see that so many activities are going on, things that were postponed, and life right now is not back to normal, but there certainly is much more of a sense of normalcy as we move forward through this whole thing. And thank you for sharing everything that's going on. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you need to leave. Yes. I know you have homework and all of that, so.
Thank you.
But thank you both.
Dr. Burry, can I just maybe before
the students leave,
share my superintendent's remarks and then
certainly
to part?
I apologize. That, yes, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So why don't you share your superintendent's report?
Thank you. I just I want to be sure to follow up on what Kenzie has shared, and so I wanted to do that while she's here. For those in the audience, I want to make sure that everybody has the same background information, because if you're not a member of the Franklin High School community, you may not be aware of the news that went out from Principal Hannah earlier today. Last week, it was reported that there was graffiti on a back door at Franklin High School, and Kenzie had spoke about it previously. When incidents come our way, we immediately launch an investigation. And in this instance, we had multiple leads, or they had multiple leads at the high school to follow, and we were able to identify those responsible so that they could be held accountable. It was not a Franklin High School student. However, in any investigation, we also consider the culture and climate of the entire school community. So I think it's important to know what Kenzie is sharing with us this evening about the culture at the high school, and it's exactly the reason why we have put so much attention into the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, both at the district and at the school level. So Kenzie, I want to personally thank you for your bravery in sharing your story this evening and having the courage to do so. It puts a personal voice to the hurt that acts of oppression cause. We often say no place for hate and describe an incident as hateful, which I think is a very appropriate statement to make. But in my opinion, it's also one-sided and doesn't portray the perspective of the impact, which can include fear, shame, anger, and other emotions. And I wrote down anxiety and panic as two words that you used specifically. And so I think it's really important that we continue to listen to the experiences of our students. And it is with the utmost respect and sincerity to you that I thank you for sharing your truth. At the last school committee meeting, we presented district and school improvement plans, all of which emphasized a firm commitment to affirming diversity, promoting equity, and fostering inclusion so that each member of our school community feels valued and feels that they truly belong. And we look forward to sharing our progress with you throughout the year. Specifically, I guess guess I'll just close with this. Specifically, I know that Mr. Hanna has reached out to the World of Difference Peer Leaders, the Saga Club, and the Diversity Awareness Club, all of whom are developing strategies in response to bring more awareness and education to the broader community at Franklin High School. A couple other items for the school committee and community this evening. Professional Development Day preview, October 1st is Friday, and it's a half day for students, and the other half of the day in the afternoon will be a Professional Development Day for faculty and staff. ECDC is focusing on CPR and first aid skills, as well as taking initial steps towards working on their school improvement goals. K-5 educators and middle school educators are going to be exploring the math growth reports from the recent assessment round and identify resources to support students. At the high school, they'll be following up from their September 3rd Professional Development Day, working together as course partners and looking at curriculum, instruction, and assessment and further development there. Our school nurses will also be getting together. They will have Narcan training. They will have a connection with Tom Poole, our food services director, to talk about food services and food allergies. And that is, those are the main items of our Professional Development Day. Wanted to let the school committee and the community know that Miriam and I have been invited to attend and present to the town council next Wednesday, October 6th. It's an opportunity for us to follow up with them following the budget hearings from last spring. The focus of the presentation will largely mirror what we discussed at the school committee's workshop in the summer, which includes things like school finance, school enrollment trends, where we are with the retirement of the Davis-Thayer facility, and how we're thinking about the master facilities planning process. And we'll be sure to share information with the school committee in advance of the presentation on Wednesday. And lastly, one of the, I think, certainly heard the frustration earlier this evening, and we have some frustrations as well as we continue with some of the effects of the pandemic. One of them is with our buses. Our bus contractor, like many across the state, continue to struggle with enough bus drivers to meet our transportation needs. We do hear that there are some drivers recently hired and are being trained for various towns that the vendor serves, but this does take some time. We've been able to transport students to and from school. However, at this time, we do not anticipate being able to run late buses as we head into October. This is when we begin clubs in some fashion, and we do intend to begin those. But recognize that this may present a hurdle and barrier to some student participation. So we would, the principals will be working with individuals to try to reduce those barriers and make sure that they can access the clubs and activities. Perhaps families can connect with each other and carpool, because we do want to make these important extracurricular experiences available to all. And we will keep you informed with how things develop there. That's my update for tonight.
Okay. I'll just go through the committee, see if any follow-up questions, comments. Jen?
Yeah, I do. Sure. Question. So the curriculum night thing, I know you didn't give an update on that, but can you give us, just so we know, or I know, because I don't know because I don't have kids in school, but can you give us just a quick overview of what the expectation was? And then also, for people who didn't have meaningful experiences, is there an opportunity for them to reconnect with staff members at a later time?
It's a great question. Thank you, Jen, for asking that. So when we approached curriculum night this year, like many districts, we were grappling with whether to hold it virtual or in person. And as a team, we wanted to keep those connections with families. I think it's really unfortunate that there are families who didn't feel very connected to their teachers and their school that evening, because we thought that the in-person experience would foster that and allow for that, especially as it would compare to a virtual environment or a virtual setting. So we still need to follow COVID health and safety practices, and there has been some concern that on typical curriculum nights, classrooms are rather crowded. And so principals were instructed or guided to work with their family communities to reduce the amount of people in a room, which did mean that there would have to be a schedule where there would be kind of rotations of families in rooms versus everybody being there for 2 hours and hearing a lengthy presentation. So it was shorter duration, but smaller groups at any one time. Some principals split up by alphabet. Some principals scheduled appointments. Middle school and high school still has yet to go. The high school back to school night is this Thursday, and middle school is, I think, October 7th for all of our middle schools. Those will be more traditional in that families are only in the classroom for about 7 to 10 minutes, and that limits the amount of exposure people are having in a group setting. We did ask families, if possible, out of respect, understanding that there's different family structures, if possible, it made sense to have one person attend versus two or more parent or guardians attend in an evening. But again, we didn't want to make a firm requirement in order to do that. And this approach was somewhat consistent with districts that I had reached out to. Everybody's trying to manage the health and safety as best as possible. In terms of communicating the curriculum, there were some materials and papers that were prepared ahead of time to give some consistency in terms of the information that was being handed out. I don't know if that's what was brought up earlier. But for example, Foundations is a program that's used in all of our classrooms. Illustrative Math is a program that's used in all of our classrooms. So Tina Rogers and Linda Ashley kind of pushed some information out to highlight those programs in particular to all families. In terms of further opportunities, there absolutely are further opportunities all year long. Parents and teachers are connecting with each other, and I think teachers are very responsive to inquiries and conversations that parents wish to have about their children. Formally speaking, we do have a parent-teacher conference coming up in early November, which is a great opportunity for families to connect one-on-one. But if somebody has something that's more urgent, they should absolutely reach out to a teacher or other educator in a school.
So there was an opportunity to kind of preview curriculum, or was it just depended on the building and the teacher? I guess that's what I'm looking for, because I know I've heard it from a couple different people that there wasn't that typical, like, you know, this is kind of our outline for the year. We're excited to have everyone back. We're going to, you know, we're going to be using the new curriculum that you just mentioned. So I wasn't sure if that was consistent or if that was something that really teachers had the decision making of.
There was a bit of discretion by teacher or by building.
Okay.
But there was a universal handout for Illustrative Math and Foundations.
Okay. All right. And then if they are interested in engaging in with their teachers, they should just reach out to them directly, or should they go to the building principal, or?
They can reach out to the teacher directly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
With all due respect, I was sitting right next to someone right next to me at curriculum night for 10, 15 minutes. I just want to make that aware. So I'm not really sure what any of that had to do with COVID restrictions at curriculum night, because I was sitting right next to, in a very tight seating, my son's seating. Someone else is seated right next to each other. So I really have no idea what any of that COVID stuff means with curriculum night.
Tim Keenan, any follow-up?
Oh, no, I'm not done. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have one more question.
Sorry. Oh, okay, sorry.
So PD, so you mentioned PD, and I know it's really hard. You put a ton of work into PD, like, weeks in advance. Hearing that this is our second incident of, you know, hate in our high school, I would love to see something, you know, around that district-wide, if we could kind of work that into our PD schedule. And I get it. I know that it's super hard to plan, and, like, Friday's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just going forward, I know that this is our second big incident in the schools. I know that the town had one, you know, this month as well. I know that you're part of a group that's community-wide. And I do think that there's a lot of value in that. And I was asking Lucas before the meeting about what the structure of that was and if there's ways. To be honest, I never heard about that until the incident happened and the rabbi spoke and mentioned it. And then I did some research on my own, and then you had mentioned it a couple meetings later. So I think the premise of that group in our community is invaluable, but I don't know if people actually know that that exists. So just, you know, something that I would like to see moving forward is to really take these PD opportunities to not only engage our school community, but engage our full community, because it's we're hitting these big instances left and right, and I don't feel like we're making any progress. And I do think, you had mentioned this before, Sarah, that it is a community issue. It's not just a school issue. And until we tackle it that way, we're gonna be sitting here hearing these disgraceful instances left and right. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All set, Jen?
Thank you.
Tim Keenan? Tim's here.
Yep.
Any comments?
I'm here, yes. I do. So I wanted to thank the superintendent for addressing Mackenzie's powerful comments, and also thank Jen for pressing on that at the end of with your questions and comments as well. And thank Mackenzie for sharing and demonstrating such great courage. It is absolutely disgusting to hear those kinds of stories. And I know we've got an election coming up, and for the respectfully request of the school committee candidates that are going to be running for this the next term to find opportunities to really try to express support for any actions and activities that are aligned with eradicating the kind of hate that Mackenzie described. It would be great to hear that alignment from the candidates. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Judy, any follow-up comments, questions?
All set, thank you.
Okay, Judy. MJ?
I do not.
Okay. Denise?
Just to kind of stem off of what Jen and Tim have already said, I think it is horrific that that has happened at our school. As someone who's lost someone after being bullied after coming out, it's very upsetting to hear. And I think that this just further highlights how important our diversity, equity, and inclusion work really is. Yes.
Thank you, Denise. Thanks. Elise, any follow-up comments, questions?
Just, I guess, a personal comment. I was at the curriculum night, and my experience and the experience of the families that I've talked to since were a different perspective, where we had seen it being more informal was more of a chance to really connect and build those relationships with teachers, because it wasn't like a teacher speaking at the front of the room and everybody else sitting there quietly listening, but more sort of mingling, walking around, looking at the cubbies and the desks, and much less formal. And we really were praising the building administration about that setup, saying it was sort of like the way it used to be when we used to go for open houses back in the day. So I think that there's a lot of different perspectives, and like Jen brought up, maybe there is up to the discretion of the teacher or the principal, but I do want people to know that there are a variety of perspectives, and some people thought it was there were more benefits, and some people maybe not as much. So that was just my experience and what I've heard through my channels with families. And I'll go to the middle school next week, and looking forward to that one.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard to balance it, because you're trying to protect everybody's health and safety, and to try something that matches and it fits everybody. It's really kind of a challenge, but thanks for sharing that. Okay, I think we're done. I mean, with that part. Guests and presentations.
So we have two guests and presentations this evening. First, I would like to introduce Lily Rivera. She is the new town and school marketing and communication specialist. She is here with us in person, and I'll give her an opportunity maybe to come up to the microphone and say a few words to introduce herself.
Hello, hello. It is great to be here. Oh, my thanks. Oh, my voice worked. Huge microphone over here. I've been tuning in thus far via Zoom, so it's great to be in a room and seeing you guys. So I recently started my position in August, mid-August, so I've been at new teacher orientation. I took the bus tour around all the schools. I've been going around taking photos of the schools, introducing myself to the secretaries so they know that strangers are not taking pictures outside of the school. So far it's been great meeting everyone. All the teachers that I've met seem to have a really great passion for what it is that they do, even just touring the facilities, really great schools. I recently graduated from LaSalle University over in Newton. My background is mainly in like municipal communication, so I worked with the Western Cultural Development Division doing events and marketing. prior to that, I worked in the town of Winthrop under the discretion of John Gilboa Public Relations, doing COVID crisis communications. And then I was working there when we had the first COVID death in the Commonwealth. So that was kind of a learning experience, learning with first responders how to handle a crisis situation. Before that, I worked with Boston Design Week as an account coordinator, helping organize 85 plus arts and design events in the Boston area before COVID shut us down. And before that, I worked with the Worcester Housing Authority doing HR. Specifically to schools, I've worked with our marketing communications team at LaSalle University to support them during their transition from college to university, to doing a competitive analysis and providing, you know, feedback from the student experience on what it is that they can do communications-wide to really address student needs and also just communicate with the student body a little bit better. So it's great to be here, and I'm really excited. I don't know if you guys have any questions for me or if there's anything.
I just wanted to say welcome, and we really look forward to working with you because it's so important that we as a school committee get information out to the public, and it's such a vital position for us, you know, in terms of that. So we welcome you, and I don't know if anyone has any questions or comments on the committee. Or, you know, so.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. The next set of guests are our amazing dream team of digital learning integrationists. They are here to share more of an update related to digital learning and some of the planning that they're doing related to a digital learning plan. So without further ado, Lucas and I will step aside so that Allison Finley, Kate Merton, Chris Penza, Marianne Zogby, and John Layton can come up to present.
Just slide these into the middle. Yeah, we'll be coming back.
You might see me come over and get this a few times. Just ignore me, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Look
like you go a little more than coming in that side. Come in.
We're here to present for you our 2021-2022 digital learning update. Our objectives for tonight are for the school committee to meet the members of the digital learning integrationist team, to understand the support provided by our team in the first few weeks of school, and to understand the goals of the DLI team for the 2021-2022 school year. As you know, we all work as a team and we try to help each other out in all the schools, and our goal is to be visible as a team in all the schools. But to make things a little bit more user-friendly, we are assigned to specific schools that we're in weekly so we can provide a face for all the schools that we work with. I'm Allison Finley. I have worked for Franklin. This is my fifth year. I spent 4 years as a teacher at Davis Thayer, and last year I worked as a third grade VLA teacher. The schools I'll be covering this year are Keller, ECDC, and Jefferson.
Good evening, everyone. My name is John Layton. I'm a teacher at the high school. I've been here about 21 years. It all started when Dr. Ann Bergen hired me a couple years ago now. Thank you. I'm a 0.8 history teacher still at the high school now. I do this job part-time as a 0.2, so I'm still in the classroom as well as working as staff on the outside. So I primarily work out in the high school.
Hi everybody, I am Kate Merton. This is my 30th year teaching in Franklin, and I primarily was an elementary school teacher at Kennedy, and this is my second year as a DLI, and I'm supporting this year Oak Street, Kennedy, and Parmenter School.
My name is Chris Penza. This is my 14th year with Franklin Public Schools. I taught for 13 years at the high school. I'm hoping to use that experience in the classroom to kind of understand the needs of the teachers and kind of identify what we can do for them a little bit better.
Hi, good evening. I'm Mary Ann Zogby, and this is my second full year on the digital learning team. Prior to this position, I was a math teacher in the middle school level in Franklin for 15 years. And as Allison mentioned, you know, we work as a team, and we have a variety of grade level and subject area backgrounds. So, you know, we kind of liaison with these schools. I'm at Remington and Annie Sullivan, but we do work as a team to when our expertise lends itself to helping out across at a different school, we do that as well. All right, so the first thing we want to share with you are some of the support that we have provided over the first few weeks of school. As a district, we, in the fall, you may or may not remember, I'm sorry, in the spring, we piloted a process for taking steps to ensure that digital tools used in the classroom are in compliance with state and federal regulations. Last year, we joined a consortium to pilot the process for signing these privacy agreements, and we're pleased to share that at the beginning of this school year, we're now fully implemented in that process. Teachers have been trained how to verify the digital tools in the classroom are in compliance, and we have the link that you see on this site here. If you're interested in exploring it further, you can click on that, and it will take you to a public-facing registry where you can see the digital tools, whether they are or are not allowed in our classroom because of student data privacy.
So another thing we did in the first few weeks is we worked to support the development of an elementary makerspace in each of the elementary schools. Some of the schools were further along in that than others. I'll talk a little bit more about that on the next slide, but we essentially supported the buildings and getting set up and worked with the library ESPs to get that started. Something that's been really exciting has been the rollout of our TouchView interactive displays in the K-8 schools. We're about a third of the way through. There's 250 being installed within the district. Tonight they're finishing up installation at Kennedy. They finished up at Keller and they finished up at Annie Sullivan. We've been on hand to troubleshoot as teachers have needed it, and we're looking forward to providing some professional development for all the great features that it has to offer. We've been monitoring the installations daily so we can be on hand in the morning to help teachers get started and feel confident to get started with their day.
As a group, we have also helped develop professional development centered around the Google Enterprise. So we've created small, manageable, little helpful modules designed to help teachers become proficient with all the Google basics that they're going to be needing as throughout the year.
Part of our PD during the summer, we worked with the admin around town at all the buildings to work with it, mainly with working with workflow. The number of emails they get a day is astounding, calendar events and so forth. So we worked on kind of managing their time better and using digital tools to kind of simplify and clear their desk, if you will, to kind of make them more efficient. And we also had the opportunity to work with all of our new staff, which is an exciting crew that we've hired this year. We had about an hour and a half to kind of get them up to speed, again, with Gmail, Google Classroom, the basic tools they'll be using throughout their first year in Franklin. We'll be working with them throughout the year. We want to give them kind of a launch to make sure they're all ready for first step.
So I'm just going to talk a little bit more about the exploration block for the elementary schools. It's for grades 3 to 5. You may know a little bit about it. Essentially, the students will be rotating through an art block, a music block, and a makerspace block. And so our role has been to, we worked with the elementary ESPs during the half-day PD in September to train them on how to facilitate some engineering and design lessons. We created some lessons and shared those with the elementary ESPs, and then we have been going to the makerspace to support them as they roll out the beginning of their lessons. The students will be doing things like building bridges and towers, maybe self-propelled cars, vehicles, things like that. And then slowly we're hoping to roll into some coding and other technical, I guess, online activities that we'll do. The fifth graders will be making a choice, so they'll be those who choose to be in the makerspace, and they will be there for the rest of the year. So they'll likely get further along in some of those coding activities.
Actually,
Oh, and then, I'm sorry, at the end of, or the beginning, every group is getting about 5 minutes of typing practice, which is part of the digital learning and computer science standards, also part of the ELA standards. So that's one way that the kids are just learning on typing.com, which is a free program that we have set up for them to use. These are just a few photos from the beginning, the first week. Program, it's the first year. We're watching really closely as to how long things take, what projects make sense to use. We're grateful to the Franklin Education Foundation, who provided some funding through Dr. Ahern, and hopefully we'll be able to purchase some other things, some coding bots and things like that, to really get some of the stuff off the ground.
Just kidding. So the next thing we're going to look at is our PD that we've been developing, centered around cooking with Google, kind of Google Basics. Working with administration, we've developed something called PD in Pajamas. Again, these modules that people can do at home on their own time. They might take about an hour, but they can earn some PD. So we're going to watch a quick little video that kind of gives you what the teachers will be working on.
Welcome to Cooking with Google, a new way for teachers to learn how to use Google products. You can choose to learn different products like Google Docs, Gmail, or even Google Sites from a list of appetizers, main courses, and desserts. Each product gives you the key features and important information about it. To enhance your understanding of these products, activities and goals are given with step-by-step instructions and resources to help you on your way. Once you complete the activities and fill out the Google form, you'll be given a badge of the product to show off your understanding. Once you collect 10 badges, you earn 10 PVPs. Try to collect as many badges as you can so you can become a master at cooking with Google. From
Our next step is to give you a preview of what we're working on for this year. Last year, we spent some time focusing on a digital learning plan, which has, essentially, we hope that's gonna be our roadmap to what we're gonna be working on for the next few years. And it's a multi-year plan. We have 5 focus areas: planning and protocols, curriculum and instruction, professional development and staff training, student data privacy, and technology collaboration, working with the technology department. So we feel really good about our progress, particularly with the student data privacy, and we're moving toward professional development and working with planning with teachers in the classrooms. We'll continue to work through this plan. We need to finalize it, and I'm sure we'll be back to share more about that.
Something else we're looking forward to in January is going to be a professional development day, which we're working to provide the infrastructure for build your own PD. Teachers have expressed wanting more of a voice and choice in what their PD days look like. So our plan is to build a infrastructure for them to choose what they want to do, build their schedule, and we're actively recruiting staff members to present on a variety of topics, not just digital, but whatever they feel like they're an expert in, and we really want to give teachers the platform to share their expertise with their colleagues.
We've also been providing support to staff with curriculum and instructional digital tools. We've created a digital learning page. So we have received a link within the Franklin Public School website. We are building the page as we speak, adding to it, or try to add to it every day. Teachers can see our contact information, so if they have a question, they can reach out to us. We put up DLI support request forms. There's also direct links into the digital district approved digital resources, paid resources. There's also the Digital Learning Center. The Cooking with Google is up there. So when you click on, for example, if you click Cooking with Google, this will bring them, so this is the PD in pajamas, this is the Google Basics. So it's very straightforward, very self-explanatory, walks the teachers through how they can achieve their PDPs, how they can earn their PDPs. And again, everything's designed so that it's useful, that it's for, you know, real life implications into their classroom instruction, what they do on a day-to-day basis.
All right, next up for our upcoming plans for the year, we're going to be exploring or curating a K-12 DLCS curriculum. This is like vegetable soup here. Digital safety and citizenship are an important part of the digital literacy and computer science standards. And what we're going to be doing this year is researching options for a curriculum and trying to identify opportunities to integrate that into the classroom, in the teaching and learning that goes on in the regular classroom at various grade levels, and supporting teachers as they integrate this curriculum into their classroom.
Oh, I'm sorry. we have also been looking at data for with account management. We've been working with the tech department to roll out Clever, which is a single sign-on. We have been working at looking at data for what's been used, the number of hits that websites are getting, the usage, so that we can help inform. We can give information to Lucas for budgetary reasons as well.
All right. And now we have time for questions or comments.
Jen, any questions?
Yeah, just a quick question about the elementary makerspaces. Can you just talk a little bit about that and the number of students that are engaged in that and the opportunities? I know, I think it was the last meeting, they talked a little bit about two or three different areas, and I don't know what they are, so I'm not sure. Going to try to explain it. So just a little bit more information on that, I would love to hear.
Sure. So the elementary exploration block is a time for grades 3 to 5 where the students are rotating. So each student will, in grades 3 and 4, each student will be involved in the makerspace portion for a third of the year. They'll rotate through chorus, art, and the makerspace. And then the goal is that the third and fourth graders, the fifth graders are just taking 1 week to explore, and they're gonna be making a choice for this year. But the goal, I believe, is for the future, those students who participated this year in all three for a big chunk of time will make a choice for the exploration block.
Next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the makerspace itself is a space, if you're familiar with it, where students can explore all different things. There's so many things, from building and engineering design to computer and technology. We are really just getting our feet wet.
Yeah.
Some schools, Parmenter has one established. Oak Street was really well on its way. The other elementary schools were really at the beginning stages. But our hope is that once we get this rolled out for the 3 to 5 in more of a structured way, that we can encourage teachers to use it when it's open. That's sort of down the road, hopefully this year, but possibly next year.
And all the kids rotate through?
Third, fourth, and fifth grade.
So all the kids in the
So
grade.
All of the third and fourth graders will experience 14 weeks at the makerspace.
Okay.
In fifth grade, all the students experience 1 week at each,
and then they
make a choice.
Okay. Oh, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well,
so
Jim?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
Jim?
Thank you for sharing. I'm all set.
Okay. Judy?
It was a very impressive presentation, and all five of you have a total of 84 years of teaching.
Never mind.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Decades.
I do not. Thank you very much for this presentation.
My son is in fifth grade, and all he has talked about is how he's going to be choosing Makerspace.
Oh, no.
So
he's very excited. So thank you for all your
work. Please. It's just so great to see you here. I think when we were first elected in 2019, we were talking about how other districts had this position and Franklin didn't, and we're a big district and we needed this support, and it was sort of falling on teachers' shoulders, which wasn't fair as far as an expectation goes. And I think the approving the initial DLI positions was a really proud moment. For me at least, when that first happened last year. And it was obviously, we were in crisis. There was
so much urgency. It was just like one foot in front of the other. You didn't really know what the positions were, just helping people every day with remote learning and the hybrid. There was so much happening. And just, I, you know, kudos to you for sticking it out and coming back. And then we're just so glad to have the team expanded. And I think, you know, there's a lot of stress on teachers nowadays, and having friendly faces there to say, how can I help? And sort of break things down so it's not as intimidating, and even give some little cheats or tricks or little things that save teachers' time is really important, and I imagine much appreciated by everybody. So glad you're here and welcome. I did have two questions. So about the DLCS curriculum, so is that being taught by classroom teachers, or are you guys going in and you're gonna do the lessons?
That will be a combination of both. I mean, it will depend on, you know, some of the standards will seamlessly mix into something they're already doing in the classroom for their other content areas, and some of them might end up being standalone. So we're really, I think, as the digital learning plan evolves, we're going to be laying out probably a phased approach to implementing these standards, where we're going to hit the fundamentals first and then work towards, you know, exhaustively meeting all of those standards over the next year or two. And see where and how, part of our exploration there is to see where and how we can implement those in an already very tight day of time on learning.
Right, exactly, but it's so important, and as a parent of a very tech-savvy middle schooler, you know, I think that digital citizenship piece is critical, and obviously as parents we can do some parts of it, and the more information you can give us as far as like tools that parents can use to help teach these things at home, I think that can be helpful when you get to that point.
That's right.
Because oftentimes it's like we're raising these digitally savvy kids when we never had anything like that when we were their age. So it can be harder for us little brains to learn.
Definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah, keep that in mind. And also, I guess just I'm so excited about the makerspaces in every school. I remember seeing the Carmenter one, and it looked like just the coolest, most amazing, organized chaos place that I've ever seen. And so are those actually physically existing in every school now?
Yeah, so there's a space that, they're all in some area near or in the libraries.
Cool.
Yep.
So
they are there.
That's so exciting. Hopefully at some point we can get back to the schools and mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really been a little nice little transformation. Some of the furniture from DT got moved over, and they've set up these little areas. So yes, if you could come over, it's nice to see.
Or you can take pictures.
Yes, we've got lots already. They'll be following us on Twitter.
Good. Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to say this was such a powerful presentation because it's so important for the community, for everyone to see that the whole world, you know, the digital world, education is changing so much, and the amount of training that has to go on, and you know, being there, particularly during COVID when this whole thing happened, that, you know, the need was filled and you guys stepped up to the plate. I just know so many people, when I talk to different teachers, they say, these guys are saving our lives. I mean, I hope you're fully you get that appreciation from them, I'm sure you do, because it's tough with all of this new training, and you talk about like sort of old, you know, this has gone way past me, but because I thought the cooking with Google thing was like a recipe thing, I was like, oh gosh, I think it's gone way past me, but to be here tonight and to give such a thorough presentation, I think it's really important, and then when we look at things like the budget, then we can see where the funding needs to go, you know, and that's very helpful for us because, again, this is a whole new world, and if we don't keep up with it, our kids aren't going to be competitive. And thanks to you for all that you're doing in this presentation tonight. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Really proud to be here. Thank you.
He stepped out, but I want to be sure to give Lucas credit for his leadership and his work with the DLIs. They report to him, and he meets with them on a regular basis.
and provides that coordination across all of the schools. I also want to be sure to give acknowledgement to the Franklin Education Foundation. So Makerspace at Parmenter, and I believe also at Oak, but I could be misremembering that, started with an FEF grant. Last year, the Franklin Education Foundation, instead of doing a normal grant cycle because of COVID, they donated money directly to the Franklin Public Schools. We used a small amount of that money to support enrichment for the Virtual Learning Academy because it proved very, very difficult to have the PCCs supporting any virtual field trips or things like that. But we still had money left over, and so it wasn't Dr. Hearn who funded it, it was the Franklin Education Foundation. So we have been using money from that donation last year to provide makerspace materials for all of the elementary schools to bring them up to be equal to each other.
Lucas, thank you for all the work.
I'm so proud of you. You're like a special ops group. If you're in the military, they just come in and they're problem solvers and they come up with ways, but they also are forward thinking, as you heard tonight. So we're just really proud and we're grateful for those positions. So thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.